Thank you so much. Thank you, Kritika Mataji, for your wonderful, warm welcome. And thank you to Komal also for reaching out and connecting us. It's really an honor to be with all of you. Numbers really doesn't matter. Every Vaishnav is so special, and the Vaishnavas who are serious, the Vaishnavas who are sincere, they are like a candle. It's explained, here's a fun fact that may be useless but is interesting. If you shine a candle in outer space, just one candle, it can be seen 10 to 20 miles away, because in the darkness, just one candle gives so much light. So all these wonderful Vaishnavas assembled, many of them I know are all wonderful Vaishnavas, and to be with you is a great honor. And on this special day of Nityananda Triyodashi, it's a beautiful time to sit back and reflect on our great fortune. So Mataji, I'm not sure of your time schedules, but perhaps I'll just speak for 45 minutes and then we'll kind of open it up. Does that sound like okay?
That's our format, Prabhuji, 45
Okay,
minutes and
sure.
15 minutes.
And then we'll open it up. Wonderful. So I just offer my pranams to all of you. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyo evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya
We're standing at the back of the.
Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Before we talk about Nityananda Prabhu, we must talk about Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And before we talk about Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we have to talk about Krishna. And before we can talk about Krishna, we have to speak about Radharani. And Radharani is coming in many forms. So let us begin in Dwarka today, at the palace of Satyabhama, where Krishna was staying one day. And while staying at the palace of Satyabhama, then Krishna sent a message to Rukmini, who is in a palace not very far away from there. And Krishna sent a wonderful message saying, I will come to your palace to visit. So Rukmini, she received news and she was over the moon. She was overjoyed. She started running around and making all kinds of arrangements to receive Krishna. What greater fortune could arise in someone's life? Krishna arrived. Krishna walked in, and as he walked into the palace, then they both sat down and they began to have a wonderful, beautiful, sweet, intimate exchange of words, drinking each other's beauty with their eyes. And in the middle of that ecstatic interaction, Rukmini, out of the blue, just broke down and started crying. And Krishna was baffled, bewildered, completely amazed at how there could be such a change of emotion so quickly. And he looked at Rukmini and said, "What's the problem? Why are you crying? Why are you feeling such pain in your heart that has caused these tears to fall from your eyes?" Rukmini looked back at Krishna and said some prophetic words. She looked at Krishna and she said, "You will never know. Only Radharani knows." And Krishna was put into a complete amazement. What is it that Radharani knows that I don't know about? What is it that Rukmini is saying? I am the person, Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjuna. I know all the Vedas, I know past, present, and future. I know all living entities. How can there be something I don't know? But Rukmini looked at Krishna and said, "You're here today and we're such having such a wonderful, but you will leave at one point. And you know, Krishna, when you leave, do you know what that feels like? And Krishna was cornered. He said, I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what the separation of Radharani, that intensity, I don't know that. So Krishna realized, my God, there's something I don't know. And as that interaction was going on, they heard the sound of a veena. And lo and behold, Narad Muni was passing by. So they opened the door. Narad Muni, please come. So Narad Muni came into this whole scene. And Krishna, of course, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hita, he's worshipping all the Brahmanas, the Rishis, the Sadhus. So he comes and he receives Narad Muni. And they're having a beautiful interaction. Krishna is appreciating, Narad Muni is appreciating. And then in the middle of that beautiful interaction with Narad Muni, boom, Narad Muni starts breaking down and crying. And Krishna's like, oh my God, deja vu, second time in a day. What's the problem with Narad Muni? And Narad Muni said, I've been traversing the universe and I'm seeing the onset of Kali Yuga. The day you leave Krishna, Krishna Svadhamo Pagate, Dharma Gana Dibisaha. The day Krishna will leave, Dharma and Gyan will also leave. And Narad Muni says, I'm walking around the universe, traveling with my veena, and I'm seeing that the onset of Kali Yuga is going to come, and it's going to be bad. And I don't know what's going to happen to the living entities. I don't know how they're going to be saved. What will you do, Krishna, to give some light in Kali Yuga? Krishna walked away. And those two things were in his mind. Number one, there's something that Radharani knows that I don't know. And I have to do something for the people of Kali Yuga because the darkness, Kalo Nasta Drisham Esha, the darkness of Kali Yuga is coming. So with these two thoughts in mind, Krishna decided, I will advent as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has an external purpose, which is to do something for the living entities in Kali Yuga, to deliver them a process by which they can counteract the effects of Kali Yuga. And an internal purpose, which is to experience the love, the emotions, the ecstasy, and the intensity of separation that Srimati Radharani feels. And this is Mahaprabhu who comes to fulfill these two things that Krishna was not able to do. And so when Mahaprabhu comes, he comes with these purposes, and Mahaprabhu doesn't come alone. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitra Shandotamonado. That Gauda has a beautiful horizon, and on that horizon, the sun and the moon are rising. And in Kali Yuga, that sun and moon is represented by Gauranga and Nityananda. And when they arise on the horizon of Gaudadesh, then they dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, Kaviraj Goswami says. So Mahaprabhu comes. Mahaprabhu cannot be concealed. Although he comes as a devotee, is clear from his pastime. So many things happen that is very clear that he is not just an ordinary living entity. One day after Snan Yatra, this is much later in Mahaprabhu's pastime, in the Gambira. Advaita Acharya, he told everyone, start worshipping Mahaprabhu. And then in ecstasy, everyone began chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Shri Radha Govinda. They just began chanting this mantra, and Mahaprabhu became very angry. Mahaprabhu became so angry, he says, how you say this, that I am Radha Govinda? Me, Radha and Govinda, the combined form of Radha and Govinda? Mahaprabhu looked at Srivas Thakur, Srivas Pandit, and he said, how can you chant such things? Srivas Pandit, you know what he did? The sun was shining, and Srivas Pandit went like this. So Mahaprabhu said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to cover the sun with my hand. Mahaprabhu said, are you mad? You think you can cover the sun with your hand? Srivas Pandit looked at Mahaprabhu and he said, are you mad also? You think you can cover the illumination of your divinity by some identity that is clear? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Radha and Krishna combined. So Mahaprabhu came. He came in Bhakta Bhav. But it was very clear through his pastimes that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Mahaprabhu and Nityananda came together. And their combination in delivering prema, their combination in delivering the Yuga Dharma was the most powerful combination you can ever experience in any of Mahaprabhu's avatars. Therefore, Lochan Das Thakur says, Parama Karuna Bahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabayavatar Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. That Sabay of all avatars, Sarasiromani, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they are the crest jewel. Because their combination in delivering the souls of this world back to home, back to Godhead, is unparalleled. Nityananda and Mahaprabhu are like the perfect combination. Even when Nityananda and Mahaprabhu were seemingly separated, they were always together. They were always combined. Kaviraj Goswami says there are four places that Mahaprabhu would always appear in. It didn't matter where he was. There was four places he would always appear in. Sachira mandire or Nityananda tane Srivas kirtane araghava bhavane Echari thani Prabhu sada avirbhav Prema Krishna hoya Prabhu sahaja svabhav. There were four places where Mahaprabhu always appeared. Sachira Mandire, where Sachi Mata was making her offerings in her household temple. Srivas Kirtane, in the house of Srivas Thakur, where the Kirtan was going on, Mahaprabhu would always come. Raghava Bhavane, in Raghava Pandit's home, where Raghava and Damayanti were making beautiful offerings of prasad to serve the Vaishnavas, to offer to the Lord. And the fourth place, Nityanand Nartane. Wherever Nityananda was dancing, Mahaprabhu would always appear. And Nityananda's dancing was like unparalleled. So wherever that was going on, Mahaprabhu would appear. So like this, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda were always together. But there's a pastime of how they came together and how they met. And there's a very, very deep lesson from this pastime of how Mahaprabhu and Nityananda met. And this pastime, I'm going to tell you, it's very short, but this pastime has such a deep lesson. And this is what I want to draw from today to share with you why Nityananda Prabhu is so important in our life. Mahaprabhu, he was playing the part of a scholar. And so for many, many years, he was in Navadvip as Nimai Pandit, the scholar. But then at one point, he went to Gaya. And we know what happened in Gaya. In Gaya, he encountered Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri recognized Mahaprabhu, and acting in the role of his guru, Ishwarapuri chastised Mahaprabhu. Murkha tumi toma nahik vadanta dikar. Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra star. Ishwarapuri said, Murkha tumi, you're a fool. Tomar adhikar Vedanta adhikar, you don't have any qualification to study Vedanta. What's all this philosophizing? What's all this scholarship? What's all this reading so many shastra? You will not achieve the goal of life by doing this. Radha, Krishna mantra japa sada ehi mantra sar. Just take the name of Krishna. Ehi mantra sar is the essence of everything. Just chant Hare Krishna. So like this, Ishwarapuri gave Mahaprabhu the holy name. And Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. Japite japite mantra, korite pagal. Mahaprabhu went mad chanting that mantra. And then Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvip, ready to give that mantra now to everyone. Now in Navadvip at that time, Mahaprabhu had come back. Advaita Acharya was already there because he had his house in Navadvip. Srivas Thakur was already there because he also had his house right next to Advaita Acharya's house, Srivasangan. And Gadada Pandit, he was Mahaprabhu's childhood friend. He was always in Navadvip. Four of them were already in Navadvip. But the only personality who wasn't in Navadvip was Nityananda. And only when Nityananda would come and the Panchatattva would come together, then the explosion would happen. So the pastime goes like this. Nityananda was on a pilgrimage. He was in Vrindavan. And he heard that Mahaprabhu has now become a bhakta. He's become an ecstatic bhakta. And now he's going to share the holy name with everyone. And now the movement, the Sankirtan movement will begin. So Nityananda thought, now is the time to go. So Nityananda came from Vrindavan to Navadvip. In Navadvip, he came to an area known as Ishodhyan. This is a very, very spiritual area. And in Ishodhyan, he came and stayed at the house of Nandanacharya. Today, if you go to Mayapur, and you come out of the front gate of the Mayapur Chandradoya temple and you go left and you walk down, then you come to Nandanacharya's house. So Nityananda Prabhu was staying there. Mahaprabhu was staying on the other side, Nimai. But Nimai, by his transcendental cognizance, could understand now Nityananda has come. Now the Panchatattva will be complete. So when he felt that this was the case, then he called Haridas Thakur and Srivas Thakur. And he told both of them, Nityananda has come. Nityananda is in this area. Please go and find Nityananda. So Srivas and Haridas walked out. And they started walking to every corner of Navadvip looking for Nityananda so that they could report back and tell Mahaprabhu where Nityananda is and then bring them together. So Srivas and Haridas went everywhere, so many places, so many houses, so many districts. The most amazing thing is Srivas and Haridas went everywhere they could imagine. But you know what? They couldn't find Nityananda. They couldn't find him anywhere. And so they came back to Mahaprabhu, Nimai, and they said, we've gone everywhere. But we can't find Nityananda. Now this is amazing. Because who is Srivas Thakur? Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. Who is Haridas Thakur? Haridas Thakur is Brahma. Now let me ask you, who can know the creation better than Brahma and Narad Muni? Who knows the entirety of this creation better than the one who has created the whole thing and the personality who has traveled to practically every place in the 14 planetary systems of this creation? Who can know the creation better than these individuals? But even these individuals could not find Nityananda. And the commentators say, Nityananda Prabhu represents Guru, Sri Guru. And you can try as hard as you like, but the opportunity to come in contact with Sri Guru is an opportunity that comes about by causeless mercy. You cannot find your Guru. Your Guru comes to find you. And so they came back and they said, Nimai, we can't find him anywhere. And then Mahaprabhu said, okay, come with me. I take you. And then Mahaprabhu took Srivas and Haridas and all of them went. And they came to Nandanacharya's house. And there was a beautiful meeting. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the meeting of how Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came together and they hugged, they cried, they danced, they jumped into the air, they fell down onto the ground, they rolled in ecstasy, and they were just completely lost to everything and everyone else just in that meeting with each other. This is what I would like to share with you today. Nityananda Prabhu represents Guru. He is the Akhanda Guru Tattva. He is the complete embodiment of Guru. And all the Gurus who exist in this world today are representatives of Nityananda Prabhu. They are empowered by Nityananda Prabhu. Perhaps in our spiritual life, there can be no more important person in our life than the Guru. And let me correct that statement. There can be no more important persons than the Gurus, because Guru is actually plural. Gurus. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan. There are many Gurus that will come in our lives to help us on the path back home, back to Godhead. Nityananda Prabhu is the ultimate Guru Tattva, and all the personalities who come are representatives of Nityananda Prabhu. Today I want to reflect a little bit on Nityananda Prabhu as Guru and all the Gurus who act as representatives of Nityananda. The Bhagavatam explains in the 11th canto, Mridehaṁ ādyam sulabham sudurlabham tavam sukalpam guru karnadharam māyānukulena nabhāśvateritam puman bhavādhyam natare sa'atmaha. The Bhagavatam says this body is like a boat. A boat through which you can cross the ocean of material existence. In order for a boat to move from place to place, there must be wind. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says the instructions of Shastra are like favorable winds, which allow one to reach across the ocean of material existence. But you can have a boat, and you can have good instructions, good winds, but you still need a captain. And therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Guru Karana Dharam, that the guru or the gurus are the people who are guiding that boat. Nityananda Prabhu and all his representatives, the gurus, they represent those personalities who are facilitating our journey back home, back to Godhead. And our gratitude, our appreciation, our indebtedness, and our dependence upon them is what our entire spiritual life rests on. If you don't have gurus, if you don't have Nityananda Prabhu, who is the Akanda Guru Tattva, there's no way you can navigate that journey. And therefore you find again and again in the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu that he is helping the individuals to navigate their journey back to Krishna. Example number one that comes to mind is Narottam Das Thakur. Because one day Mahaprabhu had gone to the Padma River near Ramakeli after visiting Rupa and Sanatan, and he went into the Padma River. And as soon as Mahaprabhu went into the Padma River, the Padma began overflowing because Mahaprabhu said, I'm investing Gora Prema in this body of water, because in the future, a great devotee, Narottam, will come. And when he comes into this water, he will be infused with that prema. So Mahaprabhu did that and he left. And then Narottam appeared. And what happened? As Narottam was growing up, one day who came in his dream? Nityananda. Nityananda came in his dream and he said, tomorrow, I want you to go to Prematali, the Padma, and there you should go and you should bathe in the waters of the Padma and something incredible will happen. And so the very next day, Narottam woke up and he went to the Padma River. And as he dived into the Padma River, then the whole river began overflowing and his body became golden because he became infused with Gora Prema. We went to this place, the Padma, but it's in Bangladesh today. You can go. Very, very amazing place. And we went out on a boat and we went right into the middle of the Padma. And we thought, okay, we're all going to dive in. Maybe some of that Gora Prem is still there. Let's see what happens. So we all, 10 of us, we were on the boat and we all decided to jump in together. You know, held the nose, you know, close your eyes, pray to Mahaprabhu, and then we all jumped in. And well, who knows, maybe a bit of that Gora Prema is there. One devotee nearly drowned. He was drowning. I don't know if it was in Gora Prema or just drowning in the water. So that was amazing. Narottam, what happened? Nityananda was the one who told him in a dream, go and this is how you will get Gora Prema. Nityananda, the guru, is guiding. Another example, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. What happened? One day at his house, a great devotee of Nityananda, Miniketana Ram, was offended. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami felt so bad. Oh my God, a Vaishnav has been offended in my home. What will happen to me? And then what happened that night? Nityananda came to him in a dream. Are are Krishna das na karah bhai Vrindavan yaha taha sarva labh yahai. Are are Krishna das, oh my dear Krishna das, na karah bhai, don't worry about anything. Vrindavana yaha taha, just go to Vrindavan tomorrow. Sarva labhya hai, and there in Vrindavan, you will get everything you desire. So, Nityananda comes, the guru comes with all these instructions. The very next day, Krishna Das Kaviraj woke up and he just dropped everything and he went to Vrindavan. And what happened when he got to Vrindavan? Just what Nityananda Prabhu told him, Sarva Labhyaha, you'll get everything. Krishnadas Kaviraj went to Vrindavan. He didn't know what would happen. What ended up happening? He got the topmost association of the Goswamis. He got the topmost service of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. He got the topmost residence in the entire creation, residence at Sri Radhakund. What more could you want? Nityananda told him, Vrindavana Yahataha, Sarva Labhyahai. The Guru tells you, if you do this, you'll get everything. And he followed, and therefore he got everything. The Guru is guiding, the Gurus are guiding. Another example, Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to run away from home. At the age of 15, he went to Shantipur. Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, and he met Mahaprabhu at the age of 15 in Shantipur. He wanted to just leave and go. Mahaprabhu said, don't be a madman, go back, be with your parents. Reluctantly, Raghunath Das Goswami went back, but every day he was running away. They had to keep watchmen on him to make sure he didn't run away. Then at age 19, Raghunath Das Goswami again went to Shantipur and met Mahaprabhu. He said, I want to be with you. I want to come with you. What did Mahaprabhu say? Varavyasinini nari vyagyapi vyakarmashu tadeva svadayantyariya gunagya sarabhagina. He said, he gave a cryptic message. He said, just like a woman who has a paramour lover, she does her duties at home twice as diligently so that no one will suspect that she has another lover. So you have to go back. You have to do your duties very well and meditate on me. Tadeva svadayatyantar navasanga rasayanam. You have to meditate on me within and then we will meet in the future. So second time, Raghunath Das Goswami tried, but he failed. He had to go back. And then what happened? Third time lucky. But this time he didn't try to run away straight to Mahaprabhu. What did he do instead? He found out that Nityananda is in Panihati. So he said, let me go and meet Nityananda. And as soon as he came to Panihati, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting underneath a tree. Raghunath Das came. And as soon as he came, Nityananda pulled him towards him and Nityananda just put his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. He got the full mercy. And then Nityananda told Raghunath Das Goswami, do a festival for all the devotees and feed them this beautiful chipped rice and yogurt, chipped rice and condensed milk. And they had a big festival. And then at the end of the festival, Raghunath Das Goswami again approached Nityananda. And he said, Nityananda Prabhu, I want to meet Mahaprabhu. I want to dedicate my life to Mahaprabhu. Please give me your mercy. And then Nityananda Prabhu in his prophetic words said, everything will come. Now the time is right. Very soon, you will attain the shelter of Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami left Panihati and then practically straight after that, he managed to run away from home. He managed to arrive in Jagannath Puri and for the rest of his life, he became a fully, completely sold out servant of Mahaprabhu in Puri till the day that Mahaprabhu left the world. But it was only possible after he got the mercy of Nityananda. Why am I telling you all these stories? Because here we are. We're all trying to get to Krishna. But without Nityananda and without Nityananda's representatives, there's no chance. You know, some of us, we may not be clear. What is the path that I have to take to reach Krishna, Nityananda and his representatives can show you that path. You may know the path. This is how I'm supposed to reach Krishna. But you know, there may be many blocks and obstacles on your path. But you know, Nityananda and his representatives can take those obstacles away. You may know the path. There may not be so many obstacles even on the path, but you may not have the strength, the inspiration, the conviction to walk that path. You know where that conviction can come from? Nityananda and his representatives. You may know your path. There may not be any obstacles, and you may have the conviction to walk that path. But as you're walking that path, you may get tempted by many other things. You know, Nityananda and his representatives will empower you to become free of anything that diverts you from the journey to Krishna. The journey from where we are now to getting to Krishna is a long journey. Well, you could say it's a long journey or it's a short journey. It depends from which perspective you look at. If you look at it from the perspective of eternity looking down, our journey is very short, actually, because it happens very quickly. But when we're going through that journey from here, we can feel spiritual life is a long journey. This road is a long road, and there's so many things that could go wrong. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that journey in Madhurya Kadambini. Ado shraddha tatha sadhu sangotha bhajana kriya. He's explaining shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, ashakti, bhava, prema. And there are many, many things that could go wrong on that journey. There are many, many ways in which we could fall. There are many places in which we could get stuck. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when you're doing bhajana kriya, which probably all of us on this call, we are in that stage. He says there are 6 symptoms of unsteady devotion that you have to overcome. He says the first thing is utsaha mayi. Pride, the pride that comes when you take up devotional service where you think, I know everything, I know what I need to do, this is easy, this is that youthful pride. Unless you overcome that, you'll not make it. Then he says, the next obstacle is ghana tarala. Some days infused, other days not infused, thick and thin, inspired, and sometimes struggling, sometimes flying, and sometimes crawling, sometimes jumping out of bed, and most days staying in bed. Ghana tarala, thick and thin. You have to overcome this. Next obstacle, he says, vyudha vikalpa, indecision. I don't know, should I get married? Should I be a brahmachari? Should I live here? Should I stay in Kenya? Should I go here? Did I do this job? So many decisions, and we become diverted by all that indecision, and we forget that the real journey is the inside journey. Next obstacle, niyamakshama. Inability to follow one's vows. Yes, we sat in an initiation and we made so many bold vows. But then can we maintain those vows? Can we live those vows? Vows at a certain point in a devotee's life may become a heavy burden on the shoulders if we're not experiencing higher taste. And therefore, niyamakshama, struggle with vows. Then Chakravarti Pad says, the next obstacle, what is that next obstacle? Garandini. Vishaya Sangara, battling with sense enjoyment, so many temptations. And then he says the final obstacle, Daranga Rangini, that you take up devotional life, and in devotional life, so many facilities, so many types of enjoyment come even in spiritual life, name, fame, wealth, power, how to make sure you don't become diverted by all of that. So can you see? It's such a minefield, this journey that we're on. Prabodhananda Sarasvati, he says, Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Vairi Varga Shri Bhakti Marga Ihakanta Kakoti Rudha. This beautiful path of bhakti is spiked with many, many thorns. So it's a long journey from where we are to get to Krishna. But history shows, Shastra shows, that it is only with the mercy of Nityananda and the mercy of Nityananda's representatives that one can actually walk that path and arrive at the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore, a day like today is a very, very important day, because it's a day in which, yes, we hear about the pastimes of Nityananda. It's a day in which, yes, we feel our great fortune that somehow or other we got the mercy. It's a day in which we get more hope, that we feel Nityananda is so merciful. They once asked Jai Pitaka Maharaj, how do you get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy? And you know what he said? How can you avoid Nityananda Prabhu's mercy? It's not, Nityananda is just giving. But still today, the meditation I want to share with you is that Nityananda is Akhanda Guru Tattva. He is the embodiment of the guides who take us to Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu and his representatives, they are our only hope for getting to Krishna. And so let us develop our relationship with Nityananda Prabhu. And let us invest and develop our relationship with all the representatives of Nityananda Prabhu, because the stronger those relationships are, the more chance we have of walking further along this path. Yeah, I'll just repeat that. The stronger your relationship with Nityananda Prabhu and all of the representatives of Nityananda Prabhu who act as gurus in your life, the stronger those connections are, the more chance you have to go all the way back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. And the great news for us is that Nityananda Prabhu and all his representatives are very, very compassionate. And they're very, very kind. And so even though we're weak, even though we make mistakes, even though we know what we should do and we don't do it, if we continually take shelter of and stay connected to Nityananda Prabhu and his representatives, then through their kindness and compassion, we'll be able to overcome whatever stumbling blocks may be there. And this is what I would like to share with you on this day of Nityananda Triyodashi. Let us take advantage of this great opportunity of being connected. Because remember, the human body is like a boat. It's the greatest opportunity to cross this ocean, so you never have to come back again. And the instructions are there, the winds. The instructions are the winds. But then there must be captain. And the guru is the captain. And there we find direction. And there we find inspiration and compassion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'll stop there, 45 minutes. I won't go on much longer. But if we have some time, Kirtika Mataji, I don't know, you tell us, then we can take some discussion.
Yes, Prabhuji. First, I'd like to thank you on my behalf. I mean, I usually take notes, but today I was so glued. I couldn't even do that. Thank you for showering this mercy and sharing this nectar, Prabhuji. It was really, really transcendental for me. And I'm sure the others felt that as well. I open this up for questions and comments. Kindly unmute if you have a question or a comment. We have a lot of our mentors here. We have Govinda Premadas. We have Kanchan Nabja Das. We have Kamal Prabhuji. We have Radhakanta Prabhuji. Most of our mentors who come to this group are here. So I'm really inspired. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Is it okay if I ask something, Kirtika Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you,
Prasad. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Sitapa Prabhu. It was very nice to hear from someone who is the Lord Nityananda's representative in my life. So thank you. Prabhu, I just wanted to ask, you know, we hear a lot about Lord Nityananda and how, and like Narottam Das Thakur's song, Nitai Pada Kamala, that basically, you know, we've wasted our entire human birth unless we developed a relationship with Lord Nityananda. If we want Radha Krishna, like you said, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So I was just thinking about devotees in other sampradayas who are also trying to get close to Krishna, and they're not in our line, and therefore they don't have Lord Nityananda's mercy in that sense, or they don't know Lord Nityananda. Maybe they have his mercy, but they don't know Lord Nityananda. So just wondering if you could say something about that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, often we find these statements by different Vaishnavas. Narottam, he says, if you didn't meet Nityananda, you're like an animal. Or, you know, Kaviraj Goswami will say, if you don't believe in Mahaprabhu, then you're like a demon. And you think, but there are so many nice Vaishnavas. They may not know about Gora and Nitai, but they seem to have bhakti and they seem to have so much love. So how do we understand this? Well, the first thing we have to understand is that when Vaishnavas make statements like this, there is rasa and there's tattva. So a lot of what they're talking about is just also an emotional outpouring of immense gratitude, that they have such gratitude for Gora and Nitai. They've been so conquered by their love that their appreciation is so great that love is almost coming out in such a way that it almost feels harsh. But it's not a statement aimed towards aggression towards those who don't know about Gora and Nitai, but it's a statement which is an outpouring of their incredible love that they have. So first thing is we should understand the rasa in which it takes place. Otherwise, you may read these statements and think like, okay, here we go. It's the born again Hare Krishnas again, you know. But it's not to judge someone. It's not to put someone down. It's not to strike someone out. But rather it's to say that I have so much appreciation, and sometimes harsh statements are made because they feel they can encourage people to then, take advantage. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is like this, that remember today I was mentioning that Nityananda Prabhu is Akhanda Guru Tattva. And there are many representatives of Nityananda Prabhu. And so gurus in other sampradayas can also be said to be representatives of Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, because they are representatives of Nityananda Prabhu, they can also take people forth towards Krishna. So in that way, even though one may not know about Nityananda Prabhu, if they're in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, following a bona fide guru, then in that sense, they're still connected to Nityananda. But the third perspective is this, that the acharyas, what they want to give the living entity is the highest benefit, the madhurya jvala rasa, the highest taste of intimacy with God. And that highest taste of intimacy with God can only be reached through Gaura and Nityananda. Every other Vaishnav Sampradaya will take you to Krishna. But Gaura and Nityananda and what they've given gives you a potential of an intimate relationship with Krishna that otherwise has never been given. Therefore, when Mahaprabhu comes, what does he say? Chira Kali Nahe Kare Prema Bhakti Dhan. Chira Kali means for a long time. For a long, long time. Nahi Prema Bhakti Dhan. This Prema Bhakti, this wealth of Prema Bhakti was not given. Therefore, I will come to give it. So it's Gaura and Nityananda are giving a very rare type of bhakti, a rare type of prema bhakti, ujvala ras, madhurya ras, prema ras that was not given before. So in that sense, we can also say that if one does not worship Nityananda and Mahaprabhu, they are missing out. So in summary, how do we understand these statements? One, we understand them as an outpouring of the acharyas and their great love. Two, we understand it that even though one may not follow Nityananda, if they follow a guru, a bona fide guru, then still they're connected to Nityananda because all gurus are representatives of Nityananda. But the third point to realize is that Nityananda and Gauranga as personalities are important in that specific form because they give a type of bhakti which is otherwise not accessible. And so these are some of the ways in which we understand these statements. You can respond to that if you'd like.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. It makes sense. I like the emotion of the acharyas pouring out their love for Krishna, so pouring out their love for Gaura Nithai. So in that emotion, it's just like, well, if you don't have this, you know, you're really missing out. So that makes sense. The Guru Tattva makes sense. I think with the third point, I was just thinking they're rare. So does this mean, and yes, they gave us Braja Prem, or they're giving us Braja Prem. So does this mean that before it was, we could see Krishna, we could get to Krishna more like in awe and reverence, in like his Dwarka form, rather than his Brajbasi form. Is that what this means? The third point?
Yeah, because Mahaprabhu, what did he come to teach? Four things. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajaya Satanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. First thing Mahaprabhu came to teach, what is the goal of life? Prema. Second thing Mahaprabhu came to teach, who is the object of prema? Krishna in Vrindavan. Third thing, what did Mahaprabhu come to teach? Who is the ideal example of love for Krishna in Vrindavan? Gopis. And fourth thing that Mahaprabhu came to teach, how can one develop that love? Bhagavatam. So, Srinath Chakravarti, he says, this is what Mahaprabhu came to teach in a very focused way, that Krishna in Vrindavan, love for Krishna in Vrindavan in this very intimate way is the goal, and the gopis are the example. Therefore, this was the special gift. What were the Goswamis doing? It's explained by Srinivasacharya. Gopi bhavara samritab dalehari kalola magna muhur. They were constantly absorbed in these emotions of the highest relationships of love in Vrindavan between Krishna and his most confidential associate. So who gave access to that? If you really want to understand Bhagavatam, you can only understand it from a Chaitanya Bhakta. Therefore, what did Mahaprabhu say to this poet who wrote some deviant poetry? Mahaprabhu told him, Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Stane Ekanta Ashraya Kore Chaitanya Charane. If you want to know Bhagavatam, you have to learn it from a devotee, but not a devotee, not any devotee. Ekanta ashraya kore chaitanya charane, a devotee who is a devotee of Gauranga. And shall I tell you? Okay, you may think this is a controversial statement, but I'll tell you. You can't understand Bhagavatam in its deepest essence from a Krishna Bhakta. Yeah, if you want to understand Bhagavatam in its deepest context, you have to understand from a Chaitanya Bhakta. Why am I saying that? Did Krishna himself understand the full import of the love explained in the Bhagavatam? Krishna himself didn't know. If Krishna himself didn't know, remember, what did Rukmini say? Radharani knows. You do not know. So if Krishna doesn't know the apex of the Bhagavatam, which is the love of Radharani, how can a Krishna Bhakta know? But Chaitanya, Prem Ras Nir Yas Kore Ashvadhan, Raga Marga Bhakti Loke Karite Prachan. He's come. Prem Ras Nir Yas Kore Ashvadhan. He's come to taste, he's tasting Radha. Mahaprabhu knows. And because Mahaprabhu knows, a Chaitanya Bhakta, a Mahaprabhu Bhakta, they can also know. And therefore, the Bhagavatam reveals who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna. Krishna is through Bhagavan Svayam. But you know what the Chaitanya Bhaktas do? They reveal who is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Bhagavatam tells you who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis reveal who is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Therefore, the contribution of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and the Goswamis of Vrindavan is a very special contribution. That doesn't mean other Vaishnavas cannot make advance, other Vaishnavas are not pure. No, of course they are. Even Mahaprabhu is interfacing with so many Vaishnavas, Sri Vaishnavas, Pushti Margis, Tattvavadis, so many he's interfacing and appreciating. But still, the intimate, deepest truths and mysteries of Bhagavatam, Ekanta Ashraya Kore Chaitanya Charane, you have to learn it from a Chaitanya Bhakta.
Oh, wow. Feel blown away hearing this from a Chaitanya Bhakta. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, is there any other question or comment?
Yes, Mataji. Just following on from that, my question is, aren't those Chaitanya Bhaktas who have profound depth of understanding of the suffering of all living entities? And my understanding is that Krishna devotees do feel the compassion, the pain, the sorrows that everybody who's not aligned to, you know, understanding their soul, you know, they feel such deep pain. So therefore, really, what is the difference between a Krishna Bhakta and a Chaitanya Bhakta when they all feel compassion to the suffering of others?
Thank you so much. Yes, Krishna Bhaktas and Chaitanya Bhaktas are both paradukaduki. Vaishnav means paradukaduki. They feel the suffering of another to be just like their own. And therefore, It's not that a Chaitanya Bhakta is not a Krishna Bhakta. A Chaitanya Bhakta is a Chaitanya Bhakta and a Krishna Bhakta. That's why in all of our temples we have Gauranithai and Radha Krishna. And so Krishna Bhaktas, Chaitanya Bhaktas, all of those who have love for God will have love for everyone, because they'll feel their suffering to be just like their own and they'll want to help them and share that knowledge. So that definitely, it's not that we're making a hard distinction here between Krishna Bhaktas and Chaitanya Bhaktas. They are birds of the same feather. Yet there is an insight that the Chaitanya Bhaktas have by the grace of Krishna, because Krishna is Gauranga. So Krishna came to give this extra insight. And those who know Krishna as Gauranga, they have this extra insight by which they can deliver something extra to the people that they meet. And so they can not only help these people to get free from suffering, but they can also introduce them to the most profound experience of divine love in the transcendent world. And so you're totally right, whether they're Krishna Bhaktas or Chaitanya Bhaktas, you can't be a devotee unless you feel a need to help others. If you don't feel compassion, if you don't feel concern, if you don't feel that you have a duty of care for others, then we can understand our devotion is very meek, is very small, meager. So yes, that is there. But the only point I'm making is that if one is connected to Gauranga, then one has an extra insight. And let me share this with you. Srila Prabhupada taught us that the Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study. The Bhagavatam is the graduate study. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. And you know why that is? Because the Bhagavad Gita, if you read it, then you'll understand the words of Krishna, the wisdom of Krishna. But higher than that is not only understanding the wisdom of Krishna, but understanding the activities of Krishna. That's contained in Bhagavatam. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita goes even further. It tells you about the mind of Krishna, the mind of God. So if you know the wisdom of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, and the mind of Krishna, then you have a complete understanding of Krishna. But to understand the mind of Krishna, what goes in the most deeper inner recesses of Krishna's mind, this was only revealed by Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Gauranga and Nityananda are very, very important. And what we often find in our communities, especially, for example, Eldoret is mainly Gujarati community, is it? No.
No, probably no. There's a mixture of all.
There's a mixture. Okay. But for example, here at the Manor, Gujarati community, and often they know so much about Krishna, but they may not know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which doesn't mean they're bad. No, not at all. They're Krishna Bhaktas. But by learning about Mahaprabhu, and by connecting with Gaura and Nithai, their devotion to Krishna Bhakti, their devotion in Krishna Bhakti can go even deeper. So this is all I was mentioning. I hope that clarifies.
Yes, Prabhuji, I agree. I come from a Pushtimargi background. So, and I'm just now embarking on being a Chaitanya devotee, and I can see the difference and feel the difference as well. So I'm sure Mataji, who asked the question, has also realized that.
And maybe one day in the future you can do a...
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you can do there is a beautiful relationship between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabhacharya. And one day you can do this study. and understand how the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Sampradaya of Mahaprabhu, and the Vallabha Sampradaya, the Pushti Marg, how there is actually a very intimate relationship between them around the worship of Srinathji and Gopalji. And these are beautiful topics, but that's a long topic for another day.
In fact, when I started, I thought Mahaprabhuji was Vallabhacharya.
Yes.
So, because I think they both came at the same era,
yes,
same time as well. But one was in the east, one was in the west. So, Kamalpan Shah Prabhuji, Prabhuji, kindly unmute and ask your question. I know we are exceeding our time, but we can take two more questions.
Thank you so much, Manji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I think you may have answered this in what you've spoken, kind of. Last week, there was a really nice question which someone asked, which was, we're living in Krishna's system, the material world essentially is. They asked, we were talking about the different yugas, and Kaliyuga is, as you said, many obstacles in Kaliyuga. It's a difficult place in one sense. And they asked, why does Krishna create the four yugas? Why not just have like Satyuga at least? Because that seems like a bit of a nicer place than Kaliyuga. I can speculate perhaps about Krishna also as a personality and a mind and wants to experience, but that would be my speculation, if you could advise on this.
Okay, there's two ways to answer this that immediately come to mind. Why does Krishna create Kali Yuga? Number one, Krishna doesn't create anything. Krishna doesn't even create the material world. We wanted it, right? So Giriraj Maharaj once came to Prabhupada and said, why did Krishna create this world? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, because you wanted it. So why does Krishna allow Kali Yuga to come? Because living entities want to have that kind of experience, right? You know, why would you want to live in a dark time? Well, just go to downtown London and see how much people pay to go into a nightclub, which is pitch black, because that's what people want, right? So the first answer to that question is that Krishna, man proposes, God disposes. So Krishna has to create yugas, Krishna has to create different planetary systems, Krishna has to create different species in order to fulfill the variety of desires that the living entities have. And so Kali Yuga is like needed. It's an experience people want to see, right? So that's one answer. But the second answer is this. Whenever Krishna creates a situation which is very, very difficult, in order to balance it, what Krishna does is he gives a very, very high level of mercy. You see, so in another yuga, the intensity of the situation is not as much, Treta Yuga, not as bad. And therefore, the mercy is less because, you know, it matches. So therefore, you may say, yes, Satya Yuga, the intensity is very low. But then what do you have to do in Satya Yuga? Dhyan, meditation, many thousands of years. Not easy. So yes, the intensity is low, but the process is quite hard as well. Then let's go in the yugas. As the intensity gets higher, the process gets easier. And the mercy gets more accessible. And therefore, although we may think, you know, Kali Yuga, oh my God, bad times. Why did we end up in Kali Yuga? You know, sometimes devotees get into Kali Yuga Katha. It's Kali Yuga, Prabhu, it's so bad. And Kali Yuga, this. Once there was one devotee and he was talking about Kali Yuga and Kali Yuga and it's so bad. And it's Kali Yuga and it's Kali Yuga. And then one devotee just looked at him and said, it's not Kali Yuga. This is Gauranga Yuga. This is a time of great mercy. This is a time of great opportunity. So we may think Kali Yuga is bad, but you know what the Bhagavatam says? The demigods are queuing up to take birth in Kali Yuga. Let me repeat that. The demigods, guna gya sada bhagina, because they know the essential value of Kali Yuga is so great that for a very small price of commitment and faith in the holy name of Krishna, you can get an amazing result. And so, yes, Kali Yuga is difficult, but then Krishna balances it out by giving a process which is Kevala Ananda Kanda, a process which is completely joyful. So, I hope that helps.
Very much so. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hand over to Path Prabhuji now. Path Prabhuji.